Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In his book, Anarchy, State, and Utopia, Robert Nozick devotes a portion of one of his chapters to a thought experiment that has become quite famous, in part because it's a really great way to think out some issues about what it is that we human beings desire, what the good life looks like for us, and what we would pursue as a means to it. And it's called the experience machine. Now, it actually includes a sequence of machines, primarily focusing on this one that he calls the experience machine, but also including a transformation machine, a result machine, and as he says, we could imagine a whole sequence of other machines as well. Each of these is imaginary. This is a thought experiment. Nobody's saying that these exist in reality. We can find correlates. You know, some people would say, well, isn't that like being in the Matrix? Well, the Matrix is imaginary too. Isn't this like immersing yourself in some sort of virtual reality? Well, yes, you're closer to that, but we do exit virtual reality. And right now we don't have smell-o-vision, and the touch stuff that we have is still pretty primitive. So we're not quite at the level of having the experience machine. You have to imagine this. And this has been imagined not just by Nozick, but you can find it in speculative fiction as well. So what is the thought experiment really about? He begins this little section by saying there's substantial puzzles when we ask what matters other than how people's experiences feel from the inside. And that's when he brings up this machine. So there are people who are saying what really matters is how people view things, how people feel about things, you know, maybe the memories that they have to draw upon. And he says, suppose there was an experience machine that would give you any experience you desired. Super duper neuropsychologists could stimulate your brain so you would think and feel you were writing a great novel or making a friend or reading an interesting book. Now, of course, typical professorial stuff. You know, you don't have to stop there. Imagine the greatest meal you could ever have. Or imagine a whole bunch of kind of boring meals leading up, you know, in a progression to better and better and better meals. You can structure the experience any way that you want to. You could think about what would it be like to have that first kiss and all the excitement that went with it and the anticipation, and hopefully it turned out good for you, and then like have that experience over and over and over again. Or what would it be like to take the body that you currently have and imagine that you would have experiences of physical prowess that only super athletes could have? Well, you could program that into the machine, and we could go on and on and on. And there could be actually some quite gross and degrading and terrible things too. Imagine, I won't go into any great thought experiments, but imagine doing some horrific act that if society even knew that you desired it, you would be shunned by everybody. Well, that could be programmed into the experience machine just as well. So you can make it give you any kind of experience you want. If you want to have terrible experiences, if that's, you know, what you get off on, you could do that too. Or you could have a mix of both. You could have as detailed a composition as you like. So here's the question he asks. Should you plug into this machine for life, pre-programming your life's experiences? Now, before we go on and look at it, think about that for a minute. Think about all the crap that we go through, all the wasted time, all the stupid, we didn't learn anything from this experience kind of lessons. They joke about that in television shows now because they become very self-conscious about the fact that there's supposed to be some sort of lesson coming out of things. Maybe there should be. Maybe a truly meaningful life would be set up differently than what we have right now. So imagine you can set up your life any way that you want. Should you? Not just could you, psychologically, should you? Is this a sort of ethical imperative? Plug into the machine. Or should you not plug into the machine? Or should it just like be totally up to you, kind of random? There you still have to decide whether you should or not. And he says, you know, if you're worried about some things, here's how we can address those. If you're worried about missing out on desirable experiences, Just imagine that business enterprises have researched thoroughly the lives of many others. So, you know, think about what it's like to enjoy the lifestyle of the super rich, say, piloting your yacht to Gibraltar. I don't know where rich people go, you know, because I'm not a rich person, but we can imagine that. So there could be like all these scenarios that could be provided to us by doing essentially a kind of market research thing, and that would go into the machine, and you'd like pick and choose. Well, I'll have one of those and one of those and one of those. You can pick and choose from their large library or smorgasbord of such experiences, selecting your life experiences for, say, the next 2 years. And then you could revise it. He says, after 2 years have passed, you'll have 10 minutes or 10 hours out of the tank to select the experiences of your next 2 years. So you could say, well, you know, that was pretty good, but I, you know, now I want to like see what it's like to be a monk in a monastery for the next 2 years. That'd be cool as well. And so you could try out anything that you want. And he says, of course, while you're in the tank, you won't know that you're there. You'll think it's actually happening. That's the nature of these experiences. Others can also plug in to have the experiences they want, so you don't have to stay unplugged to serve them, like, you know, children or aged parents or spouses or anything like that. We all have our own little tanks. And who knows, maybe they could actually, he doesn't suggest this, maybe they could be linked up so we could have like virtual visits with each other or something like that. Wouldn't that be nice? And then he says, would you plug in? Here's where we get to the crux. What else can matter to us other than how our lives feel from the inside? What can matter to us other than the experiences that either we're having or about to have or had in the past and then can remember? Is there anything else? He also says, put aside another worry. Don't refrain because of the few moments of distress between the moment you've decided and the moment you're plugged in. Because after all, what's a few moments of distress compared to a lifetime of bliss, if that's what you choose? And why feel any distress at all if your decision is the best one? So, this is a good question. Would you plug into the machine? I think for a lot of people whose lives were sufficiently crappy or frustrating or meaningless, I think they probably would say, yeah, definitely. Even knowing that what they're doing is plugging themselves into something that's a facsimile of life rather than actual life. When they talk about, for example, Second Life, which is one of the early AI things, which is still out there, apparently, that is, in a certain sense, life with quotes around it, you might say, right? There's First Life with a capital L, which might be crappy, and then there's Second Life, which is a truncated experience. But now we're saying it won't be truncated, it won't be cut off. It's going to be just as full, just as rich as the life that you're currently experiencing right now, as far as the experiences go. So Nozick says, what does matter to us in addition to our experiences? Here he has three important considerations. And this is where you want to think, do I agree with this? Do I not agree with this? That would probably determine whether you got into the machine or not. So he says, first, we want to do certain things, not just have the experience of doing them. In the case of certain experiences, it's only because first we want to do the actions that we want the experiences of doing them or thinking that we've done them. So there's some things that I brought up, the first kiss thing. So imagine that your entire life of sex, intimacy, desire, all of that sort of stuff would be totally mediated through an experience machine. You would never actually kiss another person. It would only feel totally realistically like you had that experience. And then we would quickly move on from the, you know, for so many people, landmark of losing your virginity into the much more fun stuff of once you actually know what you're doing, doing all those things, right? Getting introduced to new experiences, trying out variations. Would you want that? Or would you prefer to actually do something? What about cooking and then eating afterwards? There's a really famous scene in the movie The Matrix where the one character who sold everybody out says, you know, I know that the steak that I'm going to be eating is not real. It's just numbers, basically. But man, I want that steak, because he's not getting it in the world that he's currently in, which is a crappy world, right? A world that's effectively run by the machines, except for where the resistance has carved out little places for humanity. What about the experience of like learning how to cook things and working with real materials that to some degree present you with challenges? If you've ever done any real cooking, you know, not just pouring things out of boxes and adding an egg and oil and some milk and then stirring it up, but actually cooking things from scratch, you know that you have to like engage with the matter that you're working with. And then the actual eating of it. Do you want to just have the experience, or do you want to actually do that? So that's another important consideration. And he asks a question here. He says, why do we want to do the activities rather than merely to experience them? He doesn't answer that there. He leaves that open for you. Second thing, we want to be in certain ways, be a certain sort of person. And he says, someone floating in a tank is an indeterminate blob. There's no answer to the question of what a person is like who's long been in the tank. Is that person courageous, kind, intelligent, witty, loving? Or are they the opposite? Are they stupid, degenerate, mean, egotistical, cowardly? He says, it's not merely that it's difficult to tell. There's no way that that person is. Here he says something quite a strong claim. Plugging into the machine is a kind of suicide. It will seem to some trapped by a pleasure that nothing about what we are like can matter except as it gets reflected in our experiences. But why should it be surprising that what we are is important to us? Why should we be concerned only how our time is filled, but not with what we are? We might say who we are, what kind of people we are. And I think that's a very strong consideration there. Can you, within a virtual reality, really become a person who has a certain character? You can express your character. And there may be ways in which virtual reality could improve or worsen our character in limited ways, facing us with certain kinds of scenarios and temptations and perhaps guidance as well. But could we really be a virtuous person or a vicious person in the way that we are in the real world? The third consideration, he says, as human beings, we actually, and now this is quite debatable, we actually want contact with a deeper reality. There is no actual contact with any deeper reality, though the experience of it can be simulated in the machine. And he says the plugging into an experience machine limits us to a man-made reality. And somebody might object at this point, well, I mean, wait a second here. We've got AIs, and they're pretty smart, and you know, we could have AIs, like designing AIs, which then would design the experiment. It would still ultimately be man-made or human-made, right? It would bear the artifactuality of the human, even if it winds up being a little bit weird and beyond us. And you could say, well, what's wrong with human-made reality? I mean, music is, to a large extent, a human-made and discovered reality. And think about how cool that is, right? And we could go on and on and on. I mentioned cooking. Cooking takes raw materials and transforms them. But this is a little bit different. This is, you know, turning it into something that's only the experiences that can be provided there. And he says, a good example of this is psychoactive drugs. Some people view these as mere experience machines. You know, you take a drug and you have this kind of experience from it, and it might be something that you can't have in your ordinary life. Like, for example, taking ecstasy might make you feel differently about other human beings' bodies, and you can get closer to them and not be turned off by them. Smoking pot will have certain effects. Amphetamines will have other effects. Things that actually make you hallucinate will have other effects, obviously, but it's all basically just, instead of being human-made, it's just made by the drug. Others seem to see drugs as gateways, as he says, avenues to a deeper reality. So how we view them determines whether we want to be having that sort of, I won't say experience, because that's part of what we're debating here, but that sort of effect. So he says, we learn something matters to us in addition to experience by imagining this experience machine. And then here's the key step, realizing we would not use it. But then, he says, we can go a little bit deeper. We could imagine more machines to deal with the fact of we want to be in a certain way. What if we had a transformation machine that would make us that kind of person? This has been thought about in other formats. What if you could take a drug that would turn you into a good person? And not just a good person where you're like, you know, your desires have been, you know, essentially cut off and you're almost like a robot. No, you would be a genuinely good person. You'd be open to the world and connected with people and animals and everything else. And you walk along and you're like, oh, let me help the old lady across the street because I love doing this sort of stuff, right? If you got a machine that could transform you in that way, should you use it? And here's the interesting thing. You would use that before you would get into the experience machine, according to Nozick, and that would solve the problem of wanting to be a certain way, right? He also talks about a result machine, and this is quite interesting. Is it that we want to make a difference in the world? Consider then the result machine, which produces in the world any result you would produce and injects your vector endpoint into any joint activity, meaning that the contribution that you would make, anything that other people would do, it would automatically do that without you having to be there. So the group assignment, you don't have to actually show up at the library to work with the other people. You just have the result machine and it does that for you. So he goes on and he says, we're not going to pursue here the fascinating details of these or other machines. There is something disturbing about them, something that's problematic. He says they end up living our lives for us. Now, that's an interesting idea. They end up living our lives for us. So somebody's living our life, but it's not us. We're just experiencing it. We're just along for the ride. We've lost a kind of agency. We've lost the anxieties that come up as existentialists say when we have to, decide for ourselves and decide the criterion by which we decide. We've lost other things as well in the process, and something is living our life for us. But it's not really living our life because it's just a machine. It doesn't live as such. And here he has a really brilliant way of saying this. He places it as a suggestion that you can think about. He says, perhaps what we desire is to live. And then he puts that in parentheses, an active verb. Living is not just like anything else. Living is an activity. And he says to live ourselves in contact with reality. So there's two components to that. One is being in contact with reality and not just something that's human manufactured. And there we could debate, well, aren't humans part of reality? Okay, there's something there. But live ourselves, to have not just the experiences, but the involvement in the production of those experiences to some degree. To be, for better or for worse, involved in it. So this is quite an interesting thought experiment packed in there, and it's well worth thinking about yourself. Would you get into the machine? Would you not get into the machine? More importantly, why? Why wouldn't you? Why would you? What is the reason behind that? Because to make reasonable decisions, that too seems to be part of what it means to be a human being. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.